listener production. As cute as a little Mary-Kate or Ashley, aww, sometimes these two cherubs get mixed up too. It's Matt and Alex all-day breakfast.
Well, it's been interesting the last couple of weeks, Matt O'Kine, because two very distinct sets of festival and music show attendees have been walking around my house.
Yes, you had Taylor, and then now who?
Well, this week, three sold-out shows at Rod Laver Arena for Fred again. And I tell you what.
Oh, my goodness.
The ironic Moes and the denim skirts and whatnot have all been wandering up and down for the indie producer who just, like, announced shows and then did it that night.
Man, like, I can't believe how many...
house on the day of the show.
Yeah, he's moving some serious tickets. I'm excited actually to see. Fred again collaborated with Mike Skinner on a song that I enjoyed last year, and I'm going to be seeing the streets next week in Briz, so I can't wait for that.
Do you reckon he'll still be in the country? Will Fred go to that?
Ooh, oh my God. I'd be really licking my lips for that one.
I was talking to a bloke who was at Revolver, the nightclub in Melbourne. There was rumours that Fred again was going to do like a little secret set at Revolver. Mm-hmm. He's there all Saturday night. It makes it to 6 a.m. Sunday morning and just has to call it. It's just like, doesn't look like this is going to happen. Goes home. Fred again gets up at 9 a.m., does a set. So it's like he was clocking into his corporate job at 9 a.m., got to be at his desk by 9. But the footage was nuts of everyone jumping up and down in this quite small club. And it was daylight outside. It was like the light was coming in.
Oh, my God. I've really hit an age right there because I don't know, literally no one could get me to stay up until 9 a.m.
No, you'd just get up in the morning.
Well, you'd have to know that it was happening. Otherwise,
yeah,
you'd miss out. I'm not going to duck into Revolver on my way to getting the coffee.
Well, speaking of sold out shows, Taylor Swift, Fred again, joining that list. Matt and Alex's 1,000th episode of All Day Breakfast live at Comedy Republic. No more tickets available. I'm sorry, team. Thank you very much if you have managed to snap one up. But yes, we're going to be doing that live. The good news is if you didn't get a ticket for the room, you're going to be hearing it as our 1,000th show goes onto the internet.
Yeah, will Fred again jump up on stage at our 1,000th show? Absolutely not. I do not want to get in trouble for misleading anyone. There is no chance that Fred again will be there.
Well, we've got a pretty good producer, Bron.
I can try.
Will someone called Fred be there? Maybe. Let us know if you're called Fred and you're coming at matt.n.alex.
That's it. But until then, shall we jump into a big show? We've got, we're talking cheese. We're going to have our minds blown. And I should have had a key with me this week. There's my three items.
All right, well, let's jump in. It's Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast. Hope you're having a good one.
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Well, Alex Dyson, a whimper escaped my lips when I read the following headline.
Oh, no.
Literally, I went like this. Just exactly like that.
That's a good whimper.
Yeah, not many whimpers escape these lips, and trust me. My mouth was like Alcatraz, and that whimper was like Nick Cage getting out, if I recall that movie correctly.
Well, I think I might have read this story before you, news story before you, and I immediately knew what your reaction would be. So I actually ran across the town I was living at the time, Winterfell, and said to my mate, Ned Stark, in regards to this, whimper is coming.
Oh, my God.
Because I knew that's what would be escaping your mouth.
I wish that I'd even seen Game of Thrones to fully understand that reference. But as it stands, I feel like whimpering again. But look.
Like Game of Thrones, that was a very long setup for a disappointing ending. My joke there.
Look, the headline is unbelievable. Camembert and Brie could soon become extinct.
What?
I know.
Camembert and Brie?
Yeah, I know. Two of the most loved soft cheeses.
They are. They're like the Olsen twins of cheeses. I can't really tell them apart, but they're also very popular. Like, what is the difference between Camembert and Brie?
I think Camembert is slightly more creamy at times. I couldn't tell you, honestly. Okay, so the French National Center for Scientific Research has revealed that the bacterium needed to make brie and camembert is getting dangerously close to extinction. Okay.
No.
So, okay. So originally,
is this because they've been cleaning the cheese wheels too thoroughly and getting rid of all the bacteria?
Well, the situation they say is less dire than it sounds because
that's what I do in my shower. I deliberately don't clean it because I don't want the bacteria to go extinct. I want it to flourish.
You're washing yourself in a little bathroom of cheese, are you?
Yeah.
The old camembert shower. Camembert shower. So what it is the strain of bacteria that France's biggest cheesemakers rely on, Penicillium camemberti, or camemberti, has been the favoured, bacterium since late 1800s because it gives it the white rind and a nice sort of taste.
So it's like the sourdough starter for camembert and brie that you need.
Well, other strains produce like a little bit of a grey or orange or green tinge. So it doesn't have the same appeal. So we're probably going to start getting, when you go to the supermarket these days and you get the, and I'm a big fan of it, the imperfect fruits.
Love a bit of imperfect fruit.
I love an imperfect fruit. Give me a green camembert. You think I care? I'm not going to care if it's white.
If it tastes the same, yeah.
I'll have the brown camembert, sure.
It's like having the pink dragon fruit or the yellow watermelon you can get over in Southeast Asia.
Green carrot? I don't care. Wait, green carrot's bad? Green potatoes.
Yeah, you don't want that.
They're actually the bad ones.
And I think purple carrot's the other carrot colour you want to be.
But look, so people are very nervous about this. We don't know how we can get this strain back.
It says they got a crossbreed, doesn't it?
Do they in camembert?
Yeah, I think because this one's been, they've been using the same one for so long, it's become unable to breed with the original. It's gone too far away from the tree. It's forgotten its roots.
Do you know what we need this bacterium to do? Have sex with the stingray. They're creating their own babies without any help. Thanks to Bronze News headlines a couple of weeks in a row.
So you're saying that this bacteria to make the cheese needs to have an immaculate conception and bring about the first cheese that died for our sins, also known as breezes.
Yes.
Breezes.
We need
breezes.
To welcome breezes. We need breezes. That is what we need. But no, look, the news about this bacterium. God, I want breezes now. I need to find that face in a roll of brie. But unfortunately, hearing this news, it has definitely made me realize that this is without shadow of a doubt one of the darkest days in cheese history.
Oh, man. Cheese has been through the ringer.
Oh, mate. Sure has. And even just yesterday. PETA, the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, came out with a new video campaign saying that we should stop saying the word cheese in our photographs because it is likely to remind us of animal cruelty. Would you say that if someone was taking a photo? Hey, Daiso. Here's it. Let's take a photo. Say animal cruelty.
Oh, no. Can we say vegan cheese?
PETA has suggested think compassion when you take a photo. Okay, don't say those words because compassion will make you look like you're chomping down on something. But they say think ethical things. Trees, bees, or natural yeast. That is literally what they're suggesting.
No. The PETA PR people came out and want us to say yeast.
Natural yeast.
Natural yeast as the photo's getting taken. I don't know.
No, they said nutritional yeast. That's what they
suggested. Nutritional yeast. That's the stuff in a little that you shake out of a
Sorry. So not
nutritional yeast.
Yes. Or you can yeet that whole idea and keep saying cheese if you want. But as the ad suggests, people might get offended. on another dark day, March 9th, 2023, and a woman in the UK wins a cheese rolling race.
Oh, the one in Scotland that goes down that hill?
Yeah, big, big race that goes down. They roll a big wheel of cheese down a hill. People hurt themselves, less front and center.
Your job is putting casts on people. You would clean up
yes,
at that
well,
event. Collarbones, fibulas.
You wouldn't give any money to Canadian Delaney Irving, who won't remember much of winning the race, as tweeted by the greatest radio hits, Gloucester News, because she got knocked out on her way down the hill. She was unconscious for a period of time, but then woke up to realize she had won. So she got knocked.
She knocked herself out, but her lifeless body rolled down the hill faster than everyone else and landed on the cheese, thus securing her the win.
She woke up in the first aid tent and found out that she'd actually won the race. So there we go. And finally, in another dark day of cheese comes in October 2014 when Taylor Swift's current boyfriend, Travis Kelce, in his early days of the NFL, requests a coach on the sideline to call his mother mid-match to change his post-match meal of mac and cheese from the regular noodles to the, well, you have a listen.
Can you call my mother for me from that phone right there? Can you call my mother?
I don't know if I can use it on the sideline.
And tell her that I don't want the macaroni and cheese with the regular noodles. I want the gnocchi. How do you say it, gnocchi?
Ganachi.
Ganachi noodles.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
Yeah, not the regular noodles, the ganachi noodles.
I got you.
Oh, the ganachi noodles.
He had it right. The coach
led him astray.
So bad.
Oh, you mean the ganachi.
That's exactly what I mean, the ganachi.
Not really a noodle, though, is it?
No, I don't know. I mean, you know Americans, they say some weird stuff for weird things.
Yep.
But anyways... R.I.P. Camembert. We love and miss you already.
In this day and age, Matt, it's bloody hard to organise a phone call with friends. Like, do you know that's one of those catch-up phone calls?
Oh, mate, you're playing phone tag all afternoon.
Constantly.
And the worst thing is someone will call you and then they won't message why they've called. Because they could just message you and go, oh, hey, sorry to call. I was just trying to see whether you wanted to do something. So they'll call you and then they that's it. They don't leave a voicemail. They don't message you. And you think, oh, my God, is there something wrong? What's going on?
No, that's good stuff.
No, message and just say, hey, this is why I was calling. I go into panic mode.
What if you're just calling just cause?
Yeah, well, then just say, hey, was just calling just cause.
But then they won't call you back. Got to trick them into thinking there's something important rather than just like you felt like talking to someone because you had a 15-minute walk and you're like, what am I going to do?
On the way home. Yeah, exactly.
You're like listening to a live podcast of my friend telling me what they're up to. But I managed to do one the other day. I was sort of jammed in the middle of a busy day, but I just finished at the gym, all right?
Mm.
Well, I was about to call them on my way to the gym. They said, sorry, delayed. So I was in there. Got the call on the treadmill. I'm like, all right, I got to go. I want to find a space to have a chat to someone. And this is on the fifth floor of like this building, okay? And there was this little balcony out to the side. So go out, open the door, like, yes, open, wander out. My friend Freya had a great little catch up. Little half hour chat. It's good to get a half in.
I know,
there. You can
Freya,
cover some
how's
ground.
It going? How's Freya going?
Good, lives in Albury. She was there when we did Triple J.
Yeah,
one time.
I remember. I caught up with Freya a bunch of times.
Yeah, Freya's going great.
Good on her.
Couple
of kids now.
Couple of kids.
Shout out to you, Freya. Now, what's happening? What happened with Freya? What were you talking about?
Freya's just going great. I'm not going to just go say the whole conversation because it's not the point of the story. The point of the story is once I was finished with Freya, I hang up, wander back to the door, pull the handle. No love.
Uh-oh.
Not budging.
So wait, this is a door at...
At the gym.
At the gym, and you've just gone into it and just thinking, I'll be able to get
out. Well,
it
opened for me to get out onto the balcony.
Lovely
day. Nice little view over Melbourne. Got to go back in. Locked. It's a glass.
Wait. Are you sure that this was not a piece of machinery?
I am sure.
Like, have they made the door so hard to open that you need to, like, someone to spot you to, like, yank it so hard?
Maybe it is the final gym boss.
Like, yeah, you know, like you've got to really...
the sword of the stone. Only
really?
The strongest is worthy.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I was just there, but it's sort of glass so you can see through. And I look at no one at reception. So I'm standing like a goose until some other poor sap walks into the gym and I have to do the little wave like, hey, sorry, point at the handle. Could you just open that? And she's like looking at me so weird.
Yeah, she probably thinks this sus dog has just jumped the balcony railing and wants a bit of rep time.
Exactly. She opens it, door opens from the inside fine. I managed to get in. You know, I didn't starve outside, was out there for hours or anything that. But it did make me think, when's a locked door ruin your day? Because there's plenty of them out there and human beings encounter them every day. Sean, I lost my hotel key card and couldn't get into my room at 3 a.m. and no one was at reception.
That is going to ruin your day.
Or your night at that point, 3 a.m. What do? You just hang out till morning?
You can't go knocking around. You can't ask one of your neighbors for help. Miranda got in touch, said a friend used Airtasker to get someone to break into her own house at 2 a.m. when she forgot her keys.
So I wonder if Miranda knew the good place to break in but just couldn't do it, so asked someone. And that's also, who's scrolling Airtasker?
Yeah.
See someone, I've locked myself out. Could you break into my house? I swear it's mine.
Yeah, who is listing that as one of their skills on
Airtasker?
That's
super sus as.
I'm good at climbing.
I'm entering
hangering.
Properties that I do not own or lease.
That is sus as. Aiden got in touch with us as well, Daiso.
My brother, who was 4 years old at the time, accidentally locked himself in our Paris hotel room bathroom on his birthday. It was pandemonium. He was screaming for hours while we tried to explain to reception, who eventually called maintenance to remove the door from its hinges. Needless to say, my brother ruined his day and everyone else's.
My God. They should have tried to spruce it up a little bit by at least painting the bathroom door like a cake so that when he finally emerged from it, everyone could have been like, hooray, festive. And Chloe's on the phone right now, Alex Dyson.
Chloe, when does a locked door ruin your day?
So I went for my first ever job interview and it was a really difficult department to get to. And I sort of tried to remember how I got there so I could retrace my steps to get back out.
So what kind of job were you going for, Chloe?
It was like a lab job.
Right.
Oh, okay. So that maybe they were... you know, experimenting on things down there.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe they were testing my brain.
Oh, right, a psychological
there you
job
go.
Interview.
Yeah, you can have the job if you can find us.
Or a bit of a labyrinth to get to.
It kind of felt that way.
Labyrinth.
And so this is after the job interview, you'd finished it and then you were trying to get back out of the building?
Yeah, so I remembered that I had to take a fire escape to get out and... I guess I just completely walked past the correct one and then went into another one. And as soon as the door closed behind me, I knew this isn't it.
You could tell.
Yeah. And then
why is
there
it always
like...
that click where you realize either I've forgotten my keys or this is the wrong fire escape I'm in currently.
Yeah. And it was just dark. It was dingy. I noticed like this camera just pointing right at me. And then I went to go back out and the door was locked.
Oh.
And I tried knocking a few times, no one answered. So then I went down the stairs to each different level and none of the doors were opening. So I went back up the top and I called the front desk and the lady she answered and I was like, can you help? I'm stuck in the fire exit. And she was like, which one? I was like... don't know.
Yeah, you didn't take notes, did you, on your way out?
And she said, okay, I'll come and try and find you. And I waited like 15 minutes and I thought she gave up on me. And then she finally found me and she was like, how did you get in here? I was like, I don't know.
Oh, did you? Okay. The real question is though, Chloe, did you get the job?
No.
Oh.
Ah, rats.
And as I was leaving, so she kind of led me out because I guess she didn't trust me anymore.
Yep.
I saw the interview panel going out for lunch. So
they're like, "What is she
still
doing?
Sweaty, here? Sweat down your hair, disheveled. I've been in there for days. Yeah,
my makeup's running.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
well,
boy.
Hopefully you got a job sometime.
Yes,
thank
I
you,
did.
Chloe. Great. See you
thank
later.
You guys. I love your work.
Oh, thanks. Best, thank you.
Bye.
It is time to learn once again from Matt O'Kine, the Fact Master General. Matt, what have you been looking at this week that's been blowing your dome?
Well, this comes from news that Mary Poppins has had its age rating lifted from G to PG. U to PG if you're in the UK.
After all these years, she's been corrupting young minds.
Uh-huh. And this is actually quite a serious sort of allegation. Apparently it's been lifted because it contains discriminatory language, which a lot of people would never have known about.
Really?
So, yes. Now, I didn't really actually understand it either, because it said, because there's a few things from yesteryear.
One of the main actors' name is Dick.
That's not,
is that it?
It's not
young kids.
Dick Van Dyke.
Just see a
no.
Dick dancing around on screen.
No. So, okay. Now, here is the thing. There is the use of a word, and I'm going to say the word once, all right? And I apologize in advance for whom it may offend. But the reason why I'm saying it is because I had certainly never heard this word,
yep.
Nor did I understand that it was offensive or have any understanding about it whatsoever at all. But the reclassification, as stated by dailymail.co.uk, is due to the use of the word Hottentots. Now, apparently,
I don't know what that means, and I did think
no.
You were going to say superfralicagedonic. God damn it! Superfralicagedonic.
Well, you're not getting a callback.
Superfralicagedonicexpialidocious.
Now, this particular word is with reference to the indigenous population of South Africa, the Khoi Khoi people. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, or I hope I am. Now, they were formerly known as that previous phrase or word because that was the Dutch word or phrase for stuttering people. Now, you might be familiar with some of the tribes in this particular ethnicity as having certain clicks in their language, etc. And so I believe that that was part of the reasoning why that was, why they were called that.
Oh, the Dutchmen, all their wisdom in that time, decided to come up with that name.
Yes. So, okay. So that phrase has been used a couple of times in Mary Poppins, and people have said, "Hey, enough. We don't want that anymore. We need to change the rating." So it is now being changed. And of course,
so they're not taking
angry.
Out the word. They're just changing it from all people can hear that to people over the age of
15. Or, well, you know, it's recommended that parents have to sit next to you while you hear that one. Yes.
I mean, you kind of just want words like that to just drift off into obscurity.
I know. Well, you'd think, you could imagine that they could just either, like you said, cut it, or actually someone suggested at the end of the film you have a little bit that says, "Hey, this is what was said here, and this is what it means, and this is why it might be bad." To actually inform.
I just hate it because, like, kids and they're, you know, particularly young teenagers, awful. You tell them not to do something, automatically going to do it.
Oh yeah.
And so making a big deal about it, an obviously awful and discriminatory phrase, but which has gone into obscurity, you know, fortunately, bringing it back up. Explaining to the teenagers.
Maybe it's obscure for us because we're not at all connected to that culture
yeah.
or community. Maybe there's deep hurt, yeah, from that community. So look, the fact that I wanted to bring though is that the Khoisan people,
the olden days were racist, because that's not blowing my mind. That's
so,
par for the course.
So here we go. Today there's only about 100,000 Khoisan left. But for a while there, the Khoisan were actually the most populous group on Earth. So about 10,000 years ago, there were not more than 100 million people on the planet. And about 100,000 years ago, there were only a few 10,000s of people. And before 22,000 years ago, the southern part of Africa, where the Khoisan lived, was wetter, more rain than any other part of the world. It gave a better environment for food to thrive. It made the population boom, and therefore they were basically the kings of the planet.
There you go.
Mind blown.
And then, bloody getting discriminated against by a man named Dick. Did he say it?
No, it's actually, I believe, the captain.
The captain.
Says it.
The captain. Anyway, that's Matt's fact, but we also like one from your good self. So feel free to send us a voice memo at any point, matt.and.alex. Slide in the DMs, just like this week's listener, whose name is Kate.
I learnt recently that Australia is wider than the moon. So the moon's diameter is 3,476 kilometres, while Australia's width from east to west is a little bit bigger, 3,860 kilometres.
Mind blown.
Blown away.
3.4 to 3.8.
Yeah, right. That just gives me a little bit of hope that one day you'd just be able to fang it across the moon, mate.
They should do like the Nullarbor, do that golf course across the moon.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like a hole every 100 kilometres or so.
Yes.
I mean, if I was playing, though, I'd be hitting it towards a massive crater and I'd still miss, probably. Such is the slice on the dice.
I tell you what, they want to find water on the moon, get me playing golf up.
Always in the drink. Always in the drink, O'Cohen. I've seen it with my own eyes.
I will find it no matter what. One hit on the moon. Plop. Oh, how did that happen?
Yeah, lucky those astronauts who got maybe driven in that dune buggy. Oh, we'll need them. We will need them to ride those bunkers. Dear, oh dear. I think that's the end of the show.
It is the end of the show. Thank you for joining us.
We've reached the 19th hole of Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast. We're about to head off and have a cold one, but thank you very much for joining us. We've got one more episode this week.
And before we go, I do want to say an absolutely massive happy birthday to my beautiful partner, Belinda.
Hey!
I hope you're not listening to this podcast and actually treating yourself.
Hey, this is a treat.
To this special day. Not when you have to live with this mug every single day. So, look, hopefully you've taken the day off from me and are absolutely enjoying yourself. But I love you very much. Happy birthday. And that is all. See you later today.
That's it. The all-day breakfast kitchen is closed. Got something to add to the show? Slide into our DMs at matt.and.alex.